August 26th Planning Commission work session is in order. So the first thing we have is roll call. So I'll do a roll call for all those wearing Hawaiian shirts.
It's not a Hawaiian shirt, it's a club shirt. Yours might be Hawaiian. Yours has a floral motif.
I have coconut buttons too.
Okay. Rolly Westmore is here. How's that?
Did you get that shirt in Thailand? Is that that?
No, I actually bought it at Nordstrom's in Washington Square.
Okay. John?
Yes, John Updike's here.
John Updike is here. Bill Brannigan is here.
You got flowers too. Yeah. Nobody told me there was a dress code for tonight.
You'll get the memo.
Look, Beth's got them.
Okay, and we'll start with those that have
boring shirts.
Boring shirts.
That would be odd. That would be odd.
He sent me a text message and said, "We avoided eating at Starbucks. We were very frugal, and we tried to have a safe retirement." If I recall the thrust of your message.
Okay, Hanselman is here, Bob.
Yeah, I'm here too.
Okay, and
I don't do Starbucks.
Yeah. All those that have T-shirts
they
on,
they book unions.
Mr. Capri is on with his Hood to Coast T-shirt. Is that
yes,
the Hood
right.
to Coast?
Okay.
Well, we made it through roll call.
Yeah, go ahead and get one started. We don't need Derek for the next
cruising.
Unusual.
Okay, we did the call to order. Assume there's no any unfinished business because Derek's not here. So now we'll start with progress report number 2 by Beth Young, who also has a lovely flowered shirt on. She got the message.
I did not.
It was just in my head.
Beth, we're enjoying the last throes of summer, aren't we?
We sure are. Yeah. Even though it rained on my pickleball game on Saturday. Sunday was beautiful. All right. So it's mostly I'm here to listen. I did my homework. And so what I'm presenting to you today is a sample chapter, chapter 9. It's going to have 13 chapters. And so a lot of the work I did beside is underwater. You know, this is the one above water, but it's deciding where everything goes. I've got this conversion chart, and I'm accumulating a list of appendices, which is I'm going to talk to Derek about it, but it will be a whole lot of things that are just floating around on the website and who knows where. So if you have input on the content or format or anything about the first part of Chapter 9, because the second part of Chapter 9, which starts on page X, the fourth or fifth page there, goals, policies, and implementation measures. That's verbatim from the various chapters of the comp plan that this content came from, if that makes sense. It is missing one that I just realized was hiding in another part today, was hiding in a part of the comp plan. So this is a working version. So what will be included is solid trash and just, you know, our agreements that we have as a description, and then there are some goals and implementation. So any questions, comments? Am I going in
one
the right direction?
Page 6.
There is no... I don't have that. I'm just looking at this. So what's the content?
Oh, it's page X then.
Good. They're all page X. I'm on the right page. Which part?
Four, five. Well, just count 6 pages. Topic is Newport Fire Department.
Okay.
Got it?
Not yet. But I'll get there. Yeah.
Okay. That first sentence talks about population. And the 12,500 residents, that's not the rural. That may be all of them, or it may be just the city.
So
it's
this
not
is
just rural.
This is from the website, and so it says this is it covers, of course, more than the city of Newport area.
What website?
The city of Newport website, fire department. It's the blurb from there.
Well, this needs rewording to either indicate there's a residents of Newport or residents of Newport plus the RFD.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Make it more clear. Good.
Sure, I did. Let's see. Oh, and I think I may be in the second section here. Goals, policies, that's, you haven't changed anything there.
No, I haven't, just the format, make it a little more readable.
Okay, because there's a statement in here that said, the city should update its fee schedule to include a non-refundable LID application fee.
Yeah.
To be paid, well, that's,
should
silly.
Is,
you don't put
is,
should in
yeah,
a comprehensive
it, yeah,
plan.
You don't put that word in. And there are a lot of other things that are wrong in these. I actually haven't read them all. I just stuck them on here. So that's going to be part B that you deal with Derek, I presume, of the actual, like, how much of this is still true? And can we firm this up?
Yeah, and I had asked before, and I don't remember the answer. I apologize. Are you going to be pulling out property-specific information, putting it in an appendix? I'm thinking specifically the historic buildings list.
Yes, that if, for example, that's a good one. That'll go in the appendix. A lot of those detailed things, details now. Okay. So what this Chapter 9 illustrates basically is that it's just kind of a, for somebody new to town to know what our water supply system is. You know, just a general, here it is. And none of those details. It will make mention, you know, these are the ones in the historical, you know, registered with the state are in this appendix X.
Yeah. Okay. And that's an interesting point. If it, the purpose, other than being required by state law, are you really considering this a document to be used by new residents?
Sure. I mean, it's it will include all the things that are required by state law. Yes, and mostly by reference, like I mentioned with the historic, and it'll say hearing incorporated into this. Those words. Comp plans. You can beyond what is required. You can say whatever you want it to say. So, this is.
Well,
there's a lot. You should see the existing one. I mean,
does it make any sense, given that you're trying to incorporate that as one of the purposes of this document?
Well,
to maybe
like
consider
I mentioned,
a
go ahead.
2 or 3 page. Here is Newport. Welcome to Newport.
Right.
Include the relevant stuff from in here, without a lot of the things that are not necessary for somebody just moving here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so I didn't really include the table of contents, but so there are a couple ways of looking at this. Is that this will be mostly online. I mean, most people will be looking at it online, and so you know we don't have to be as compact or stingy with the photos as usual. And to answer your question about an intro, there will be an overview. And in fact, I probably will remove any mention of population, which is at the beginning of all the chapters now, which of course is outdated. But there might be a little mention as of this year, as of printing, it is this many people, you know. So that'll be in the intro. I should have included this. The table of contents is so far acknowledgments, maybe mayor's letter or city council letter, introduction to Newport and the comp plan, and then the map, which is the major part of the comp plan, and then these chapters. So yeah.
There's a new, sorry, I can't remember the name, but a new communications guy.
Yeah, John.
At the city.
John Full?
Fuller. Fuller, I think. Yeah. You may want to just check with him and see if there isn't some way that something,
yes,
you know, more summarized and available, both online, particularly online, for people thinking of moving here.
Yeah.
Here's a quick snapshot of what Newport is.
Yes.
Just a thought.
And as that happens, you know, so far I'm grabbing from the web pages that are pretty well done already, the fire and the police department and Parks and Rec. But yeah, I think he's going to be doing a lot of that, kind of upgrading the website, and then I can pull his prose from that.
And the other thing is there is a project to evaluate essentially records management systems for the city that Eric, I think, is working on.
Okay.
And one of the points there was to make sure that all these other data sources were integrated so that it was accessible through a single kind of interface. I don't know what all that's going to sort out to be, but have you talked to Eric at all about
it? I haven't, but I will now. Yeah, that's wonderful to coordinate all that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's it.
All right.
Not to be contrarian,
but
I'm not sure a visitor to a town.
What?
I'm not sure a visitor to a town reads the general plan.
Oh, maybe I meant a new resident.
Yeah, people considering moving here, you're going to go to the city website.
Go to the city website.
The city's all about.
Go to the city website, yes. Read the general plan.
Well, that's why I said maybe
I think
something designed towards potential residents.
Only the nerdy ones who sit on commissions like this would do that. I'm just
only
not sure
a few nerds
there.
Like us.
That's all.
I would. I
so
did.
Well, again, we're all nerds here, so we're excluded from that. But I think the average citizen,
I'm
right?
With you.
Yeah, they don't even know what a general plan is.
Yeah, you got a good point. But also, you know, John can start using this stuff for tweets and did you know that it can be fun. This will be the basis that other media, which I think in the future will be more and more of this stuff, Facebook presence or whatever the newest thing is. Yeah. So I don't think it's you're right. Probably no people will be reading it like we are on paper. Maybe just us here in this room.
This is not a big lift for you. That's all.
Oh, no.
Limited resources, so that's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, thank you. Condensing is harder than actually doing it in the first place. But if you feel like it's too much of a blurb for each one, like, you know, if maybe my water supply one is too big or something, if you feel like maybe I should just keep it to a paragraph or something, I'm welcome to input on how much people will read. By the way, this is going to be one of the bigger chapters, from what I can tell.
Hey, Beth, on the Newport Fire Department, maybe we should be putting in a blurb about, besides the fire department, how we also support the Forest Service for the
yes.
rural parts, since we're built, since
I think I wrote
Mr.
that.
Mr. Capri is building a...
You can throw Capri architecture in there.
I'm trying to find that page again. I think at the end it says...
I think it was just a small blurb about it, but probably could be expanded. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in addition, the NFD deploys to wildland and wildland urban interface fires whenever Oregon State Fire Marshal and the governor request assistance. Maybe elaborate on that, you think?
Well, this is not when the government requests it. This is permanent.
Because the fire district is... Just mention that it's not all in the city. More
right,
elaborate
right,
on
right.
that. Good. More than just city limits. And, yeah, I will talk to them about what that is. They might have it on their website already.
And then you have a blurb in here on the port of Newport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering whether or not you should.
Right. The first sentence, you know, sure. Separate and independent entities, but they make mention that I included this goal 11, which, you know, is statewide goals, not right. Specific okay. to the city, but it does make mention of ports. So, you know, it could go in the transportation section, but basically that's why it's included.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the city of Newport has tax revenue for the most part. An awful lot of it is driven by tourism. So if this is geared toward new people moving here so that they can understand it, maybe we should try to expand a little bit on the port of Newport and the value that the fishing fleet brings.
Oh, be a little more...
To the city, I mean...
How, yeah.
It's kind of really the main, if you want to say industry, it's the main industry we have is the fishing fleet.
Uh-huh. Good point. Okay, good. Yeah, mention fleet.
I mean, you know, prospective people coming to town should understand that.
Importance of the yeah.
So they may object to the smells down there. But it's the smell of money.
The smell of money, like manure in Iowa. Mention fleet and importance
kind of
to
like
city.
In the state of Iowa, the hog smells. It's the smell of money.
Yeah. Okay.
The lagoons.
That's what they say at Oregon
have those
Coast
in Michigan
Bank
too.
When the fishermen come in.
What?
They say that same comment at the Oregon Coast Bank when the fishermen come in.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, and if you come up with more as you come along, an email to me is fine throughout this process, you know, and I'll be having all the chapters for you guys to view pretty soon in a few weeks, and I don't know how Dara feels, but take your time, read through it, see, and these broad comments and the detailed ones are very valuable. You know, it takes a village.
Well, Derek, this may be vaguely tied into another issue we've been discussing, but that kind of material that can be lengthy and really take some comp time, could we get it more than 3 days in advance? Of the next presentation.
Well, certainly something like that can be floated out. I'll talk to Beth about schedule because we're not on a hard schedule on this. And I think, you know, one key piece here is that the city's going to be revamping its website, so we're going to want to make sure that how we structure this. And it may be that it's this, you know, we set it up as this is the web document versus this is the official document, you know, because, you know, you know, so the different ways we can tackle that. But to your point, Bob, certainly we can get that out when you're looking at a lot of material with more lead time.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any other questions or comments for Beth?
Okay, you know where to
reach
me. Austin,
do you have anything to add?
I don't.
Nope. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're good.
Have a good evening.
Don't forget to feed my
I couldn't hear what.
I have lots of opinions.
Well, you can just leave that.
You can have plenty of opinions, but we work within constraints here, Dustin.
Okay, moving along, we have number three, new business. And the subheading is the FEMA Flood Insurance Program and Endangered Species Act. Eric.
Yeah, I am going to actually share some information on the screen here in a minute, but before I do that, I just, again, the history on this, just for everybody's benefit, and I know you've been briefed a number of times over the years, is that FEMA was sued in the states of Washington and Oregon by Audubon and others, and that the National Flood Insurance Program was structured such that it was allowing a take of endangered species. That includes salmonids. I think that includes one of the listed orca species. They're all in the document there. But because FEMA lost in Washington, Oregon was next up, they decided to settle. And the biological opinion was prepared. And there's been a lot of back and forth as to what kind of changes are going to be required to the flood insurance program to comply with the settlement and the Endangered Species Act. So FEMA then went ahead, and the last time I believe I updated you was when FEMA said, okay, we're moving forward with an environmental impact statement to comply with the National Environmental Policy Act, and they opened up a window for affected communities to provide comment. We talked about that in work session. The city ultimately did provide comments. That step of the process is not final. At that time, FEMA anticipated that the environmental impact statement process would wrap early 2025, and that they would have a final model ordinance for jurisdictions to implement come fall of 2025. And that we didn't need to do anything until there was a final ordinance, model ordinance. Well, that changed. Now they're looking at 2027 as the target date for the final ordinance, and they've decided that we have to do some interim measures. They call them the PICMs because they love acronyms, which is the pre-implementation compliance measures. So our mayor gets this letter. It's in your packet, out of the blue, mid-July. And that letter says you're going to have to do these pre-implementation compliance measures, PICMs. And you have three choices. You either prohibit all new development within the floodplain, or you implement FEMA's model ordinance as it stands right now. Mind you, they couldn't give it to us at that point. It was not available for distribution yet. Or you do individualized habitat assessments. And by the way, the habitat assessment guidelines are not available yet. And then in the letter included multiple dates for webinars. And I attended and participated in the webinar on the 31st of July. And they went through all of this stuff at that time and then said, you know, we hope to have the model ordinance and the habitat assessment guidelines available to you soon. And remember, guys, you're going to have to, all cities and counties in these affected areas, which is the better part of the state of Oregon. There's a map in there that shows all of the affected areas. It says, by the way, you have to pick this option by the 1st of December. And there's an implementation, begin implementing shortly thereafter. I've got the date in here somewhere. And then they said, oh, by the way, also, if we're not going to approve any conditional letters of map revision in the floodplain that involve fill. So if you have a project where you're doing fill in a 100-year floodplain, and that's going to lead to a change in the boundary 100-year floodplain, that's off the table now, folks. We're not going to authorize it. So that was a heartwarming and fun little webinar. And so we wrapped that up. And then in mid-August, we received the model ordinance and we received the habitat guidelines. So now we have those. So we can make an informed decision about which of the three we want to go to. I mean, to be candid, I think there's no way for us to sidestep habitat assessments because we have the Oregon land use planning process to deal with. There's no way, even if we want to adopt the model ordinance, we're going to get that thing done through hearings with the Planning Commission and City Council and get it into our actual municipal code by the time we're going to have to start implementing. So there's going to be at least some period of time where we have to require individual habitat assessments. So, And then right when I was about to send this packet out, you saw a letter from Oregon's congressional delegation saying, hey, FEMA, you really need to be providing jurisdictions more time. There are a number of projects around the state that involve conditional letters of map revision. You ought to give them a little bit of time to get that tied off and not just spring it on folks like you did. And you ought to give jurisdictions more time to figure out which of these options they want to pursue. So I'm going to go ahead. I should mention there is a separate group out there who wants to litigate or is litigating, fighting this against FEMA. And our mayor's been plugged into that. There are a number of folks that kind of are aligning in that direction. When I say our mayor, he's tracking it. The city's not made any decisions, but he's tracking the progress of that group. But we are collectively of the mind that we have a responsibility to ensure that we're taking steps here locally that ensure that property owners within our community are eligible for federally subsidized flood insurance. And we have to do these things to ensure that they are eligible for that insurance. And the letter that was sent to our mayor in mid-July kind of pointed out just the size of the policies that are in play in Newport, and it's a meaningful number. If we don't do what they're saying, then they were clear on the webinar. We would go into a probationary period and then on the path to getting kicked out of the National Flood Insurance Program.
Excuse me. So we're talking about folks who would have flood insurance, which would be a fairly small subset of the entire population of the community.
Correct. It is a subset of the community. But, you know, there are quite a few properties that are in the floodplain.
Do those folks who are in the floodplain, do you have a feel for how many of them had flood insurance?
The community letter included the number of policies. I'm just looking at it here real quick. It does. 119 policies.
119.
Representing $36 million in coverage and change. So that's kind of what we're looking at. Yeah, our exposure is not the same as some communities. Some communities, I mean, you've got where they're low-lying. Seaside probably fits in that category. Are going to have a lot more exposure than we do. But we still have quite a bit of exposure, and that's going to be in, you know, coastal areas like around.
I thought there was some discussion that the flood insurance was, the premiums were getting excessively high, and a lot of folks were foregoing the flood insurance. I don't know if anybody else has had that insight.
Probably either side of the Mississippi River. I mean, the rates aren't federal, national rates, are they, Derek? Aren't they based on experience?
I'm talking about right here in Lincoln County.
Oh, in Lincoln County? Yeah, I've never heard anything about that.
Well, you know, this letter, I think, indicates that, you know, we have a substantial number of policies in Newport that are insuring significant value in property.
You got almost 200 policyholders.
119 is what I saw in the letter. So I'm going to share a screen real quick. Yeah, I'm not going to walk through this whole thing, but I'll hit the highlights as I've been trying to through here. So the big focus on this is the model ordinance, and the model ordinance includes, they were kind enough to highlight the stuff that is new that we would have to apply. Now, you may recall we updated our floodplain code not that long ago, so we have most of the model ordinance components already in there, but we don't have any of the highlighted stuff because that's new. So the whole premise on this is no net loss of natural and beneficial floodplain functions. That includes habitat, which is not something that would be a normal consideration when we're evaluating a project in the floodplain. Our principal evaluation of a project in the floodplain, if it's creating habitable space, is to ensure that it's elevated. So I'm going to go to no net loss. There's plenty of definitions. I'm happy to stop on any of those, but no net loss is the biggie here. A standard where adverse impacts must be avoided or offset through adherence to certain requirements so that there's no net change in the function from the existing condition when a development application is submitted. That's important. One benefit we have with a developed port is we don't have a lot of habitat in the developed port. Not as it like somebody was trying to do some development along a stream that had, you know, a whole bunch of intact riparian area. Our developed port has a lot of physical infrastructure, and it doesn't have that same, you know, type of habitat. So it says, you know, from when the existing condition, when a development application is submitted, the floodplain functions of floodplain storage, water quality, and vegetation must be maintained. It's got definitions for a riparian buffer. The other thing to keep in mind, this is a special flood hazard area. That's all of our floodplain areas. So not only is it the areas like the Bay and Big Creek and its adjacent tributaries there, but it's also the velocity zone. So everything that's facing the ocean and subject to wave inundation, the V zones, they get hooked into this too, which makes it tough. Because I have a hard time in many cases, I can visualize a number of our properties that are subject to wave inundation and how this has anything to do with salmon habitat or orcas. But be that as it may, the model ordinance has a whole section in it, and we'll see a bunch of yellow popping up.
Can we solve the 400 real quick? Sorry.
Sure. You'll see a whole bunch of references to no net loss. I mean, that's what they were adding into a number of sections of the model code.
So write it
400 here.
400. So that's the first time it comes up, and it comes up throughout
the throughout the document. Yeah.
And so the point is, though, is if you're a private citizen or a developer or a contractor or an architect, there's no, like, how do you prove the no law? No, you can't, even from the city, like reviewing a plan, you aren't qualified, I'm not qualified to be able to say that there's no net loss. So how do you get away from doing an environmental study anyway? Like, no matter what, isn't that the only way that you can prove it?
Well,
that's my biggest issue.
Here's no, it's fair. I mean, part of this is how much of a burden you want to place on a private developer versus how much does a city want to take on in terms of potential risk. And
risk, though, right? Because if you're not like an environmentalist, or if you're not qualified to assess habitat, which I'm not, you're not. So, you know, when you're trying to put together development, this whole model code basically is saying, in order to prove it, that's how I read it. In order to prove this, you have to do an environmental study on each project to prove that you don't have the net loss standards from Section 6.
So when you look at this stuff, and it's an excellent point, Dustin. That's something we have to balance, because the flip side of it is I can't think of the limited number of professionals who deal with habitat impacts. When that's largely dealt with for in-water work or work within wetlands, firms like Pacific Habitat Services, there aren't very, very many of those firms out there. And to say that we're going to do habitat assessments in all cases, even, say, development within a velocity zone, may be basically telling the people we're going to prohibit all development with the floodplain, because they're going to get in the queue with a limited number of these environmental professionals, and maybe that firm will be available in 6 months, a year, year and a half to do the assessment.
So there's
two sides to that.
You're right. There's not a lot of people that do it. It's
right.
Really specialized. And it's not fast either. Each one of their studies takes.
Wouldn't these rules come into play after somebody's home or property has been destroyed, and then they're applying for FEMA to help rebuild.
No, this is all based on maps, so this is all new development too.
This is all, this applies to any new development within the 100-year floodplain.
Including, as Derek said, in like the BE zone, so your velocity zones where that's like all oceanfront properties. Yeah.
The document's shifting the burden of proof to the property developer.
Yeah, 100%. And their model code, I just can't, when I read this model code, it's like it's really hard to prove the no loss standard. Like when you read section six, which is it.
You're looking at it right there. So yeah, it's.
How do you prove that? I can't. And like FEMA presents this like it's something that like a homeowner could do. Like, you know, hey, I want to go build a house. I can deal with this myself. You can't.
My suspicion is that we're going to want to do some, one approach we might be able to take on this is, see, there's activities exempt from no net loss standards in here, is to try to begin to frame what is easy versus what really needs a habitat assessment. And take that and codify through the model code those activities we feel were pretty safe aren't going to have an impact to habitat. I'll be clear, the V-zones, for example, most development we would see in a V-zone, I think wouldn't be too hard to say that it's...
What kind of zone?
Velocity zone. So most, our 100-year floodplain is made up of areas during a 100-year event that would be subject to inundation. That's what you would typically flooding.
That include tsunami inundation?
No. It's
but it is tidal. Yeah.
It is storm inundation. So your V zones are the ones that during a 100-year event, that's the extent of your wave inundation coming in. So severe storm, big waves, they've mapped it. In fact, Jonathan Allen with Dogami was very involved in the modeling along our coast. And so that's been dialed in a much finer grain than it had been previously. And then you have the areas of inundation, which would include your streams and the estuary. And we have one regulatory floodway, and that floodway is Big Creek, is in Big Creek. And so the difference between a floodway and what they typically call flood fringe, both of which make up your 100-year floodplain. Floodway is where you have active flow during a 100-year event, moving water. The flood fringe is where you have standing water during a 100-year event. So it floods your basement, but it's not flowing through your basement. It's flooding your basement.
Yeah. Now, I assume this applies to Lincoln County as a whole, too, doesn't it?
Yep.
So whatever we do needs to mesh in with what the county is doing.
No. I wouldn't go there. Every jurisdiction's got to make its own choices based on what they see as their level of exposure and needs. There are actually going to be communities that say, we'll just prohibit all development in the floodplain. Why? Because they have maybe three properties in the floodplain and none of them account for much. You know what I mean? Every jurisdiction's got to make their own call. Lincoln County has way more exposure than we do to stream tributaries with natural, intact, you know, riparian areas that provide a lot of habitat value. We have a lot less of that. We have a working port where that habitat was removed long time ago and replaced with, you know, piling and wharfs and all of that. So it's a whole different critter for us. So, you know, that's where I said, but although we do have some habitat, we've got a project that I've got to talk to the developer on that's off of Elm Street that's supposed to come in. It's an apartment project. There's floodplain down there, and it actually has habitat value down there. So we're going to have to kind of take a look at that and see, what's this mean to that particular project?
the exemption list is basically like you can re-roof your house, and if there's a down power line, you can put it back up. I mean, I guess like accepting those are sure, but it doesn't actually help with anything with actual development.
You know, another thing we might be able to do on this is have kind of a boilerplate evaluation done for the V-zones that we could use for various projects that kind of set parameters. It says provided development occurs, you know, within these typical parameters, it's not going to have an impact on habitat, and then we can reuse that. You know, I'm trying to think creatively here because I know for a fact that there's not going to be enough professionals out there to do individual habitat assessments for everybody who wants to do any form of new development. And new development is, I mean, pretty strictly regulated here.
And that would include new development on the water itself. So like if I was wanted to put in some structure so I could raise oysters on the river, that would be covered by this too, wouldn't it?
It would. I think the one thing you find though with in-water development already is that you already have a habitat assessment requirement that triggers. Oysters might not be the best. I'll say when the port does some work and has to rebuild a part of a pier, then they're going to be doing habitat assessments as part of their Department of State Lands and Army Corps permitting. And so it would just be what from this list needs to be added to that particular assessment to cover all bases. And I suspect it's not going to be a whole lot because what they're doing right now is fairly involved already on the habitat when you're doing in-water work.
Which the port is doing.
Which the port does, yes, and will continue to do. But see, none of this stuff has ever been in play for somebody who's building a house overlooking the ocean. I mean, we just wrapped up an elevation for a house off Arbor Drive, which is out on South Shore, sitting right down there with a big ocean view. Those had to be elevated. They're in the velocity zone. But they've never had to deal with habitat. The port, at least, is equipped to deal with it because they're already dealing with it through other federal and or state permitting authorities.
Does the port have the expertise to do it in-house?
Nope. They hire it. They hire it away, and part of that, too, is yeah, there might be some liability there, but I think it's the other thing is if they do it by themselves, I think they have run a more difficult time with the permitting authorities because those permitting authorities, natural resource people, are more accustomed to working with, say, a Pacific Habitat Services, and that permitting review tends to go a little bit more smoothly because they have those established relationships.
Are you thinking you would like, would the city of Newport hire someone to put together like a specific, I mean, it's separate from the code, right? You just would adopt this model code.
I'm thinking, well, one, I think we're going to, well, I would assume everybody around this table agrees that option one, prohibit all development, is a non-starter.
Yeah.
So it leaves us with the model ordinance or habitat assessments. Well, timing-wise, unless our congressional delegation was successful and buys us more time, there's no way we get the model ordinance adopted through a land use process by the time we have to start implementing. So we'll probably have to start with habitat assessments right off the bat.
Is that a full like, ESA? What does it look like? What is the habitat assessment? Is it just basically go point people to, I guess, you know, they're going to have like some rubric for it now.
You have,
hey, look at chapter 6. We need to comply with this. Give me what I need.
Well, if you, I also attach the habitat assessment guidelines.
Yeah. For the trees are obviously a big part of it, but how would the city of Newport review like the, the 6-inch standard? Like, can I go out there and say like, hey, I'm a licensed architect. I looked at all the trees right at my chest. These are the ones that are 6 inches bigger.
or a surveyor, or?
We're going to need to identify who will accept the habitat assessment from, because I suspect what we're going to end up wanting to do there is, if we do have going down the habitat assessment route, is we're just going to let somebody's professional certification stand as having addressed it, and we'll only comment on it if there's a material error in the report.
So like a PE, or so like a civil engineer?
Stay tuned on that, Dustin. I haven't had a chance to work through that. I think a lot of jurisdictions haven't, but that would be one approach. It's very similar to what we do with geologic reports. We don't get into the questioning of a certified engineering geologist on the substance of their analysis, unless it's very clear, you know, it's not connecting up, and then we'll pose those questions. But at the end of the day, we let those geologic reports stand on their, you know, on their own merit.
It'd be interesting to reach out to a civil engineer or a couple of them that you know, and just see if they're willing to, because stormwater management, impervious surface, and like a tree assessment, like, I guess there are probably a lot more companies that could tackle
on. Part of me, the more I look at this, thinks that we might be able to hire somebody to do a habitat assessment that basically carves out, like I said earlier, that carves out the V zones. It says, as long as your level of development is within these parameters, you know, no matter what it is along this coastline, you're going to be okay. Try to get something like that we could then reuse as different applications come in.
That'd be awesome if someone's willing to do it.
I know it's hard because there's a lot of wild cards out there, but then on the flip side, they get to frame the parameters, which may not work for everybody.
How do CLOMERS and LOMERS work then now? Does FEMA, I mean, do you still...
If it's a letter of map provision based on fill, they're not going to take any action on them. They said that.
Until 2027?
They didn't put an end date on it, Dustin. I don't know when they're going to pick them up.
That's what they're saying. Well, clearly they recognize how onerous this process is, because in the handbook they say the applicant should weigh the cost of preparing an assessment and a plan. Should one be needed, it may cost less in time and money to simply avoid the area.
Right.
So they're basically saying, well, this is going to be really expensive, and you probably won't be able to do it, so you might want to rethink your project. I mean, that's interesting that that's in the handbook.
Well, you know, and frankly, that's going to be something we're going to end up advising some people to do, too, is like, look, if you got this oceanfront property, you still have a nice view, just set the house back further, and you're not in the floodplain, you don't have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
That's true. You can still elevate above a BFE, so... Like, as they're set right now, you...
If you go in the floodplain, you're subject to this. That's new development. If you're out of it entirely, you're fine.
So if you're elevated above a BFE, you still have to...
Absolutely. That's what their point is with this. The point of the lawsuit on this, Dustin, was, hey, look, FEMA, your flood insurance rate program is causing a take because you allow people to redevelop and you don't even think about the habitat impacts associated with that redevelopment. You allow massive quantities of fill and riparian vegetation to be stripped out just so somebody can pile up a bunch of dirt and get their replacement house up above the flood risk.
Don't they have a section in here that says we have to have it, it has to be on piles? It says that somewhere, right?
But you get my point. Yeah. There's nothing in the existing floodplain regulations that gets at protecting habitat. That's not what it was designed for. It's designed to protect structures and life and property. That's what the floodplain code's about. It has never been about habitat, and that's this weird kind of twist to this.
Have you spoke with, like, Director Apture in Tillamook County or anyone, like...
They were on the same webinar as I was. They're struggling with it too. I mean, their exposure is even way higher than us. And the other one that even the FEMA people are struggling with is, hey, look, we got a lot of infrastructure within the 100-year floodplain, and that's subject to failure because of natural hazards, whatever. And how are we going to go about fixing that? You know, they didn't have a great response. basically they said, yeah, we'll let you do it under emergency provisions, and you got to have to come back in and comply with the standards.
That's a section.
If you can.
Like every year that goes by, they add on, what, 50%? I read that somewhere. If you defer it every year that goes by, you have to do it 50% more or something.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to go back and take a look at it. I guess I've wanted to share this with you. I'm going to be the second week of the second council meeting in September. We'll do a work session with the council on this as well, because we have to make a call on which of those three options the city of Newport's, and we have to report that. And then after we do that, then we're going to have to start documenting it, that we're following this kind of stuff. And like I said, I don't see any way for us to get the model code in. That may be the way we want to go. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But for some period of time, we're going to be stuck with habitat assessments. I don't really see a way around it. But I appreciate your thoughts.
I would agree. I think you've outlined it as an interim step and an interim step.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree, because you don't want to just preclude development. I just don't see that as a viable option.
Yeah.
So, well, for the habitat assessment process, are there actions we or just the council need to take in order to move to that requirement?
To begin to impose that?
Yeah.
That's a good question, whether or not to put some thought to that. I don't know that that has to be a land use requirement. Yeah. You might be able to avoid having that as a land use requirement, but I would suspect that we're going to need to put it in an ordinance somewhere. We don't normally just apply things that are nowhere in our municipal code. But this is a clear mandate. I mean, we're not being given an option here.
Can you ask someone from FEMA? I think it'd be helpful to know what they consider a qualified professional, because that's the term they keep
using. That's, yeah.
And so I think that would help, because honestly, if they consider a civil engineer a qualified professional, suddenly it's more of an inconvenience, but much less of a, what I think would be a catastrophic problem for development. There are plenty of civil engineers that deal with those issues, but if they don't consider civil engineers qualified professionals, that's going to be a problem.
I that's good. I'll ask them. It's fair. We need to figure that out. My sense is that unless we could get some kind of habitat assessments that we could reuse for different properties that were general enough that we could say that these cover this range of circumstances, it strikes me that we're not going to want to stay in that habitat assessment world by itself for too long, that we probably will need to do the model ordinance. Thoughts?
I agree. Yeah.
Well, especially if it's going to be difficult to come up with a habitat assessment if you haven't got any professionals to do it.
Right.
How much developable land is in the floodplain in the city limits?
Our exposure is not too bad. That's the positive side of it. We have 100. We have it here. I can probably show some of it to you. Actually, it's probably not. I'll just show it to you. We've got just a few more minutes.
I would think most of it's up at Big Creek.
We have Big Creek, and then we have, the velocity zones pick up a number of properties along the coastline. But our exposure is not too bad. I would not want to be the counties right now. Their exposure is brutal.
Well, keep in mind that this is all designed to reduce claims.
Derek, is reconstruction, redevelopment considered
the fourth time
under this ordinance, or do you get grandfathered
in? Their goal is a little different.
No, that would be new development.
Yeah.
Now, we would be able to argue that if you're redeveloping on the same footprint, it impacts nothing other than the same footprint, you're probably okay. But if you do a redevelopment and now you have 200 square feet of additional area, and you know, you're going to be caught on that one.
So I see where Washington County in 2020 defined qualified professional for this purpose. Attainment of one or more of the following credentials: an advanced degree, master's or PhD in the fields, I'll list the fields, a bachelor's and 5 years experience, an associate's 7 years or just 10 years experience with no degree. And the fields are ecology, botany, wildlife biology, natural resource management, wetland science, environmental science, or environmental planning.
Hmm.
So they pretty, that's a pretty narrow field.
Yeah, there's not a lot
of
people that do it.
So this is our 100-year floodplain. So it's going to impact all the properties on, say, the bayfront that are sandwiched between Bay Boulevard. Remember, if any portion of the property touches it, you're usually getting into it, even if it doesn't entirely cover your improvement. So a lot of the properties along Bay Boulevard get hooked into this and are subject to it. Port infrastructure certainly gets pulled into it.
Maps are better than they used to be.
They are quite a bit better than they used to be.
But still, they're not perfect. Like, they don't follow contours, and you can see it. You're like, wait, I know there's a wall there.
Some portion of that's McLean Point right there gets hooked into it. You're going to see it. These properties down in South Beach, they all get picked up into it. You've got it impacts. We got a townhouse project here that it impacts. But then, you know, you go over here, and this is where you see how it impacts these lots. This is all in South Shore. So these development lots here, these are undeveloped yet. They'll get impacted right there. I mean, modest compared to what some jurisdictions are facing, but still enough that it's going to be an issue.
Is there anything in Night Beach or not?
It just overtops the just a little bit of the turnaround there.
Back's not in it.
No, I don't think the Visual Arts Center is. I think it's just outside of it. You see it right there? Just goes right around it. Like I said, the only regulatory floodway that we have is here. This is Big Creek up in this area. And the floodway, I don't know that I'm showing it right now, but it's in this area here where you can see Big Creek. I'm just running my cursor through it in here. But that impacts some properties. We've got some homes down in here that get impacted. So that's more or less the exposure we have. Did that give you a better sense? So you could see the I mean, if we were some other communities like Tillamook County, I mean, you'd have way much larger volume of policies. Yeah, this is one where we're working actually with a developer right now in this one here. So we'll see how that gets the impact. We're going to have to sort through some of that. So stay tuned. I'll reach out on that front with qualified. Any comments or feedback you want me to share with the council on this one? They'll be getting the same news. Okay. All right, so I think what I'm going to, for the council, it'll be the same information I'll be sharing. And again, it's we're probably going to end up in the habitat assessment, but what action do we need to take to even do that? Is this a piece that you need to cover?
I guess with the council, I'd bring up who's the qualified individual that Washington County came up with?
Or if there's, if FEMA says there's leniency there.
Yeah.
God, that'd be interesting too. I'm sure they're, yeah.
Because they're such a lenient organization.
Yeah. But it's nice to ask anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's all I had.
Okay, we have, the last item was the work program update.
I shuffled some things around because I had to get this in because of the timing. So that's really what I did.
So everybody can review it. Okay. The work session is now over.